Lee Morgan on trumpet, leading off on this wonderful tune, Midtown Blues. This is from his 1960 album, Leeway. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What does that mean? People ask me, what does that mean? Well, it is the way we make room for callers, listeners, to express their opinion. And we make this little adjustment. We dispense with our regular program format, and the program becomes an open forum in which you are encouraged to call in and express a point of view about something that you consider important and something that you want to tell us about from your own particular vantage point. Hopefully, you will have a considered opinion about it. It's not just for, you know, yammering and talking about, you know, the party you went to last night. It's about serious issues about which you have a strong opinion. And as I say that, I should also mention that people who may have opinions contrary to the prevailing view or contrary to something, a view that they have heard on the program itself, are invited also to call in. That's what makes life so interesting. We can't all be of the same mind at the same time. So you are invited to call in and express your opinion as well. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I said before, but it's worth repeating, this is not just an empty exercise. It is about, because I've talked about it many times, getting people to understand that just as they are agents of change. And that means perhaps in expressing an opinion, you're causing people to think or rethink their position on a particular issue or topic. But you also have work to do, and that is you have to learn, or I suggest strongly, you learn how to use the medium so that you use your time on air profitably to convey your thoughts. You let us know what you're thinking, and in an orderly fashion, you pursue your main thoughts, and then you would have done a good job. Now, why is that important? It is important because it gives purpose to why you are on air. And this goes for this station or any other station where you are likely to express an opinion that could inform and amplify people's point of view. So you have to know how to use the medium. And this is a form of self-education. Learn how to use the medium effectively. Don't just, you know, people take us on scenic tours and we still can't figure out where they're going. No, it's a discipline like anything else. You have something to say. Hopefully you would have scribbled down your main idea and the supporting material that you wish to bring into the discussion as you course us through your opinion. And that means that you would have educated us. The Latin root, I'm going to go back there. Eh, meaning out of. And ducere, to lead. So you would be leading us out of a state of not knowing about something into a state of knowing, even when we might disagree. But we can appreciate your point of view because you have applied yourself to presenting an organized thought. All right. So that's enough. 888-874-4888. I know people get on the air. I've listened to radio, all kinds of radio. And to me, it's a personal irritation when people abuse or misuse the airtime they have. Instead of using it profitably, by that I mean that you have a reason for calling, you have a thought that you want to convey, you can show us in the course of your presentation that you have looked at this, you have looked at that, you have looked at the other, and you have come to your own conclusions. And whether people agree or not, the fact is, we should appreciate the fact that you thought enough of yourself and what you're thinking, and certainly of us, to get out of the get out of the fence around you and add to what it is you are offering. Just, you know, give yourself a little push so that you use your time profitably, and that you are performing a good service by also educating us, but you're telling us, or you're showing and you're demonstrating how to use the medium. Now, that's one of the things that the alt-right and the right-right and the really right-right, they do this very well. No matter what show they get on, they have developed, if you listen, they have developed a discipline. This is what I'm going to say, and these are going to be my points. And so by the time you hang up, whether people like what you're saying or not, the fact is you would have conveyed your thought. Okay, 888-874-4888. Let's hear from you now as we open up the phone lines. 888-874-4888. This is your time, and use it wisely. Use it well. Give us something to think about. Jay, you start us off with your offering today.
Hello to you, Eutrice. Hope that all is well with you and the listener audience. I'm just basically calling with one question. What is America going to do in regards to the pandemic that we are having at this time in regards to this corona crises and the homelessness and all of the other things that are in play at this time that's affecting everyday people? I mean,
I have to be a bit critical of you here. You still say crises when it's crisis, you mean. The singular is crisis. The plural is crises.
Well,
I'm sorry?
The crises that America is facing with homelessness, all sorts
of
things.
Okay, you're using it well there. That's correct. The other thing that you say is in regards to. Try to say that a bit less and say something like concerning. In regards to is a favorite phrase of yours, but it is not used appropriately. So if you can substitute or remember to say regarding or concerning, as opposed to in regards to. Okay? So now tell us what you're thinking. You're questioning. You shouldn't be thinking. That's not the point for today. Today, you are supposed to be telling us what you think. You're not supposed to be asking questions. That's my job.
What I think is that the American people are about to get screwed like never before. I think that the American people are not going to get any type of relief that they assume that the United States government is going to give them. I feel that Mitch McConnell is going to be a person that obstructs everything that goes on in regards to the Congress.
Oops. So you just said it again. Okay, but I'll ignore it. Just go ahead.
I just feel that we as a nation have to figure out what are we going to do collectively to put pressure on Mitch McConnell and the rest of the people in public office, because it seems like we're going to get nothing in return. I don't know what can we do, honestly, to make it so that they give some sort of relief to people. I mean, are they going to place any new programs in effect to help the homeless people that are about to face homelessness? Are they going to do anything to deal with the food insecurities that people are facing? Are they going to do anything in regards to jobs?
I'm not hearing it. Okay, you just continue talking. I will not hear it all the way through. Go ahead.
Are they going to do anything about the restaurant industry that in New York City is absolutely destroyed? So those are
Not alone in this regard. We have all over the country, there's a general breakdown. It's getting worse. Only a few special areas of the economy seem to be holding firm or even thriving. So this is a national disaster. But I agree with your insight that it doesn't seem that there's much action happening. The number one thing you mentioned today was the assistance people clearly need. We're not hearing anything about it just went right up my head. But the idea that people should be helped, and it is long overdue. People are really having a rough time. So they need to speed things up. And the more people are clamoring, the more it seems to be slowing down. I think you're right about that. Thanks for calling in. Okay. Sorry, you have more to say.
What I was saying was there's nothing in place, it seems, to help the people in this country who are suffering, and it doesn't seem like we have anything as a nation to push back. It's like the people are not in a position to stand up and fight. I mean, I just don't understand what is one to really do in this situation to make things better for the American public. I don't know. What can we do?
Good question. Hopefully somebody would offer some answers as we go along today. Thank you for getting us started today and for making a contribution. 888-874-4888. We're asking the question, what is supposed to be the reason? What could the reason possibly be that the clamor of the people appears not to be registering anywhere in the government? You know, this is when the government should be stepping in and coming to the aid of people who clearly are suffering. I mean, they're not making it up. They're not trying to fool somebody. This is very real. And instead, we having these ridiculous daily reports. Oh, how is Donald Trump feeling today? What else is he whining about today? Who cares? Who cares about Donald Trump at this point? You know, just go your way and do your thing. But at the same time, we have a continuum, one assumes, in government with Biden, and we're not hearing anything from him either. So people are feeling necessarily, and I think correctly, they're right to feel this way, that people are ignoring them. They're being ignored. They're not being attended to. And it is beyond urgent at this point. It is beyond urgent. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what you're thinking. What, not just about this particular subject, about any subject that you wish to talk to us today about and share your opinion about. 888-874-4888. All right, let me see what's going on here. My phone is doing some very strange things. It has a mind of its own. It goes where I don't want it to go. And it doesn't go where I want it to go. So, yes, this is a very dicey time that we're in. And I think everybody is feeling it. Everybody feels the full weight of the disorder, the fact that we don't know what's next. We don't know how we will make it, what is going to happen. People are very, very concerned, and rightly so. I mean, we have these people who still, at the same time, are doing extremely well. They're doing very, very well. Corporations are doing very, very well. But the vast majority of America is not doing very well. And it seems as if they've run out of options. And that's, I think, what Jay was referring to. What else are people supposed to do to get across to this government and the incoming government that the time is beyond now? It's extremely urgent. Many people are on the brink. This is not the place that you want the people of a nation to be, on the brink of, you know, disaster. And mentally, they don't see how they could make ends meet. We have record mortgage loss. We have record, we have just, the words fail me, because we talk about it all the time. It is incredible that they don't know. And it is even more incredible that we are not seeing a systemic response. And that, to me, is so callous at a time like this. Somebody should be saying something to the people, saying, this is what we have in mind to do. But you see, this again goes back to Donald Trump and his idea about chaos. He has created such division and chaos in this country that nobody wants to come in behind all of that negativity, where he has set one group against the other, and the rich against the poor. And it's just untenable that you could actually run a country or feel good about living in a country at this time. It is incomprehensible to me that people could expect that all things will still function, quote, normally. We're not in normal times. No matter how much they encourage it, or no matter how much they refuse to admit it, ignore it, it does not change the fact that people are in dire straits. In dire straits. And they've run out of answers. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon.
I sincerely hope your health continues to improve.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Gary Noel told me about you 5 or 6 years ago, so I'm very concerned and still concerned. I would just
Thank
like
you.
To. You're very welcome. I'd just like to make a comment where we are as a country in the world. America is on the way out. When you look at history, in the 15th century, you had Portugal. 16, you had Spain. 17, you had the Dutch. 18, you had France. 19, you had England. All of them had close to 100 years. America in the 20th. They're on their way out, Utrice. And what they're doing is trying to take everyone with them that they can. They know their time is up and they're on the way out.
Why are you so pessimistic about it?
Well, I read history. I know history.
Yeah, but you're living in the present, and I'm sure, and I appreciate the fact that you give us a historical perspective, but that still doesn't solve the question of why you are so sure that America is on the way out, as you put it.
You treat two things that you could look for when a country or empire is on the way down. One thing, their money goes down in value. Another thing is military overreach. What America is doing today, China did around in the 11th and 12th century. They found out that they had not enough money nor men to accomplish what they set out to do. So what they did, they stopped in their tracks. And all the people they had in other places in the world where they were trying to establish a great empire, they left them there. And just about any place in the world you go today, you will find the Chinese. They left them there. Okay, America, if you read some of the books, and we write the books before it takes place, there's something out there, as I said the other day when we talked, America's killed millions in Vietnam. They've wrecked Iraq. They wrecked Afghanistan. Do you think they will be unpunished for all this that they've done? What do you think will happen to them?
You're now taking us into the realm of philosophy or an area where there is no definitive way to respond. We just have to accept your thesis because there's no way to prove it or disprove it.
Okay, I'll say this. You said philosophy, but I'll say prophecy. America will, what will have done to others will happen to them.
And it's not them, it's us.
Okay, it's us. Okay, we'll have time to get out of here before it happens. So when you get the warning, just try to move out a little ways. Because it's going to come. You can look at the battle over Los Angeles in 1941, and you'll get a sense of what happened. Out there in the sky, there are some brothers. They call them UFOs. And anyone in the New York area, when the night is not cloudy, you look out there, you'll see them. If you want more
come
evidence,
on now. That is really overreaching. You're telling me that you have seen, you looked out in the clouds, and you have seen extraterrestrial beings.
Oh, they're from right here, you trees. They're not from extraterrestrials.
And what are they doing?
They're going
hanging
to
out
America
in the clouds.
They just making their observations and observing what they have to do. And America will be gone one day. I don't know when.
But where is the, you see, this is what I mean. It's one thing to have an idea. It's another thing completely to promote the idea as fact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll put it this way then. I'm going to deal with two concepts, hope and belief and faith. Faith is belief in something you can't prove. Hope is desire
you see, but,
with
but look where you are now and where you started. So you jumped mm-hmm. around. You're not holding to a streamlined thought that we could follow. You're jumping because you feel a need to defend your theory because I'm asking a simple question. What is the proof, any proof, of what you say?
I'll say it again. Look out there in the sky. When
yeah, but saying it again doesn't make it any clearer. I'm asking, what proof do you have that there are these things happening right now as you speak?
Okay, it's going to come back
to me. And therefore, we should be aware that even if we don't see these things, they are in fact happening and they are true.
Okay. You just I'll say this and I'm going to let someone else get on, you know, talk. We just be prepared, you know, just be prepared to go into a place of safety when these things happen. And it's prophesied, you know. And let someone else get on. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Thank
you
for your patience.
All right. Thank you for calling in and contributing today. 888-874-4888. It's one thing to say, you know, you have some thoughts about some, you know, some otherworldly thing that we mere mortals, we have no evidence of. But in this situation that we're in right now, we require it. We want to hear your evidence. We want to hear the confirmation of your ideas. And it's not an exercise. I've said it at the beginning. This is not an exercise in just talking to hear your voice. You have a considered opinion. Let's hear it. Let's share it and even disagree with it if many people want to do that. That's fine. But let's not go through these things because it really, it destroys the purpose of this kind of discussion that we're hoping to have where people give and take and learn from each other. This is not it. 888-874-4888. We'll take this break and come back right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. This is Free Your Mind Friday. And that's what we're hoping that we can accomplish in the time that we have. And that is to engage in meaningful conversation triggered by your thoughts or what it is you're advancing for our consideration. This is not for, you know, this is not your personal. You know, you get up on your own rostrum and you're talking about things that you believe. That's not what this is about. This is about encouraging a give and take of ideas. You say something, you present an idea, it should be reasonably well thought out, and you should have some idea of what buttresses your contention so that people can engage with you and your idea. It is not a time to just prate. You know, you get up and you're preaching about this or you're preaching about that. No, this is what I mean by us understanding how to use a medium. The medium is not here to allow any person to engage in you're preaching about something that does not apply to all of us. It doesn't. And it is not something that invites the larger community to participate in exchanging views and ideas with you. So in the end, you're using or misusing the time and the program. It is not for that. It's not about your personal beliefs. I don't want to know about your personal beliefs. I just hope you have some and you're okay with the beliefs that you have. Great. But let us see how you would use a medium available to you at no cost to you. Nobody's charging you a penny to get on the air, but to share what you have to say. So all the more reason that you should pay attention to the content of what it is you want to share. It should be universal. Everybody should be able to participate. But if you're going to preach at us or preach to us, you've destroyed the whole point of the program. It's that simple. Secondly, you would have lost or you would have traded off the opportunity to learn how to use the medium itself, so that whether you call in on this program or you call in on any other program and you wish to express a view, you know how to do that. You know what is required of you. You don't call up in order to present your personal point of view about a personal subject that has personal meaning to you. That's not what this is. We are building a community here, in case people missed that point. It's about building a community. How do you build a community? You don't build a community by being extremely self-centered or very parochial. Okay? I'm not being critical. I'm saying to you, this is what you need to be thinking about when you use a public medium. There are expectations. And one of the expectations is that you're saying something that has a larger import than your narrow view. You didn't come on here to express a narrow view. You came on here to express a view that has wide import. So I'm saying this as a way of letting you know that when you have an opportunity, you should understand it is an opportunity. Don't squander it. Don't kill it because you don't know how to manage it. And this is why we engage in these discussions as a way of getting you used to the idea of how you engage in public discussion and debate. Personally, I don't care whether you think, you know, there are people hovering above the Empire State Building and they all have 10 arms and 20 legs. Fine. That's for you. I mean, that sits well with you. But when you get on here, let's have a broader discussion that somehow references the times we're living in, what you're thinking, things that we ought to be considering but are not. These are things that I think you want to keep at front and center of your thinking when you get on the air, no matter whether it's on this station or any other station. And don't take us on a scenic tour. I've said this many times. We don't want to go on a scenic tour. We have enough to capture our imagination right here, right now. So try to be as relevant as you possibly can to the times that we're living in. You don't have to stay to the times that we're living in, but it helps because you're relating to issues that many people, many more people, would be aware of. And they would want to listen to what your take is on the same subject. All right? So it is not, and I'm going to get pretty rigid about this soon enough, don't misuse the time. Don't misuse the opportunity. Don't abuse us by telling us something we have no interest in. You have an interest in something, good for you. Now tell us something about that which you have an interest in that you perhaps disagree with, or that you have something to embellish us, embellish the idea with. But don't do that. We're all grown people, and there's no need to attempt a conversion. People believe what they believe. Leave them alone. Let them believe what they believe. We're interested in what you bring to the table that might educate us. And this is not it. It doesn't help us at all. So let's be mindful of that. It could be a very, very useful tool for you to learn how to publicly engage with people on a mass level. And it means that you certain things should be going through your head. What would be the broadest appeal? And that kind of thing, that's what you should be thinking. Not just you. G from New York City, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi, I hope you had a great holiday if you celebrate.
Nice and quiet. Thank you.
Thank you. I listened to how I sound on the radio, so I'm going to try to improve my ways. I just want to say a little bit about the dating and social situation that I see among a lot of people. It's more difficult, I find, for people to get closer and to have a personal relationship. We're more, I find, and not just me personally, but just what I see around, and I'm in New York City, that there's more younger people. I heard a statistic, 18 to 34-year-old women, there's more of them that are single. And that's in 18 to 34 is their young, marriageable years. I think that has an economic base to it, with the job situation being what it is, more unemployment. And there's more uncertainty about how your young life is going to be. And I find that reservation remains, not just for the 18 to 34s, but the 40s, people in their 50s, people who have been married, who are divorced. I see a lot of that. They're reluctant, especially the men, I find. But I often see we women, too, are reluctant to get close. And I have a friend, I'm just going to get personal for a second, who often says, well, with these economic situations due to number 45 and just what has been going on in general with jobs going offshore and not coming back and politicians promising they're going to do things to bring them back, but it doesn't pan out that way. People, my friend says, well, we're going to have to come together to work things out and buddy up and romantic up slowly, but it's going to have to go that way, they say, because of the economic situation. You know, you can't deal on your own by yourself. I wonder if my friend has a point there, but I don't see it happening. I see the reluctance among both genders. I see that often men seem to be afraid, and perhaps I'm oversummarizing, but they're afraid of being taken for a ride by women to end up with costs and responsibilities that they can't handle because they're burdened. And you don't have, well, it's obvious, I listen to a lot of shows on the station and other stations, And they talk about the jobs for men. There was a time when men earned, I guess this isn't related to white men more, but maybe more than just white men. There was a time when men earned they refer to it as a family wage. You could have a family, or you felt that your position was secure. You know, maybe it wasn't a family wage, but you felt your position was secure and your salary was good enough. And as a man, you know, having a family was part of being a man. I don't see that so much now. And with what's been happening politically, with an upset, it's generally a disruption. I think with number 45, it's upsetting, it's disrupting, and that leads to insecurities and embedded insecurities being more present. So there's a fear and a distrust of certainly the next guy beyond you.
Isn't there a cop-out at a certain level? People supposed to be more and more comfortable with the idea of looking to government and house. I understand your point. I think you're correct about the apprehension people have across the board about, you know, the reality of our living situation. You know, we are uncertain about jobs. We dissatisfied with pay. We have ambitions just the same. People want to get married. They want to have children. Well, maybe they don't want necessarily to get married, but they want to have children. And isn't it a kind of cop-out to hide behind the idea that things look too uncertain and you can't make a move in this environment?
Well, it's not just uncertain. Maybe I didn't say it well enough, but it's uncertainty there economically, so it's external concerns. But I think also what I'm hearing from the men is that they're concerned about the women. That's right, I did say something about the men being afraid of or concerned, I should say, because I'm trying to weigh my words carefully, not only because of, you know, when you listen to yourself and then you say, well, gee, did I say that right? And then I listen to your reaction, and then maybe someone else might call. So I'm trying to be weighing my words. So I think they're concerned about certainly the external economics and the social upsets. You know, do I pay for the date? Do I not? You know, or maybe not exactly that, but different concerns that people didn't have that they now have. But they're also concerned about, you know, this chick seems like she's all right, but, you know, they have concerns because maybe they don't see the women up close until they feel it's too late. And so now there's a baby or just I've gotten involved and I now have to extract this woman who might be texting me crazily, or, you know, she might be showing up. You know, there's a concern there, but I guess there is something of a cop-out, but I just see it as a fear. And maybe maybe there was a time when people weren't as fearful, because I think about, well, what about the Great Depression? What about World War II? All these eras that I heard from my older relatives, and people got together. Only thing I could say is you needed less. Maybe they expected a little less money from the guy and from the woman, and perhaps there was more family togetherness, maybe, of some sort. I wasn't born back then, so I don't know. But from what I've heard, it was like, dang, they lived through some hard times, but people got married. But what was a guy earning? What was she earning? And what was the expectation? What was the housing like? I mean, you could probably live on less and in smaller housing. Your mother was there, your father somewhat, and perhaps it seemed doable. I miss the generation that used to tell me the stories, Eutrice, of how people got together and what they did, and even though it wasn't perfect for sure, they did it. But you got to have a master's degree.
Even during the plague,
now.
People managed to live their normal lives. They had their dreams and aspirations, and they managed to pull through. I think we make an extraordinary. We put too much emphasis on the wrong thing because we think that in order to have a family life, put it that way, you have to have this, you have to have that, you have to have the next. I'm not dismissing the importance of considering the quality of life that you would have. Mm-hmm. But I think, frankly, I think many of us have punked out.
We're very choosy now.
Whew. Not only that, we're terrified.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to be transparent. You can't hide anymore. You have to be who you say and be on the level. There's no way to hide as people used to hide before. You can't hide that much now.
We used to hide before?
Oh, yeah.
So those eras where they were getting together, they hid?
People had different families with children and everything while married and maintaining a monogamous relationship with their wives.
Oh, yeah, the outside family. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
West Indian circles especially.
Well, not especially.
But not only.
Because... Not only, goes all the way to the White House.
Yeah.
You know, the president had his mistress built a secret room right under his bedroom where he slept with his wife.
Mm.
I mean,
that's
many
all of them, isn't it?
Presidents had been found to have had a lot of outside children. So this is nothing new.
Yeah. No. I don't have a real answer for it. I mean,
no.
I have my own insecurities and stuff. But see, I think that by calling in and saying this, you know, and hearing your response, it's like, well, okay, what can I do, you know? And what should I look at that I'm not looking at? Because I think your perspective on everything we're talking about is like another mirror. You know, because you can hold up your own mirrors, but there's someone else like you holding up a mirror that can sort of give you an armor and, you know, another point of
Americans
to look
today,
at.
I find them to be essentially unrealistic about too much of life. They're unrealistic.
Mm.
And they seek perfection.
Yep.
When even in themselves they don't have it, but they expect it in others. They expect to live a more perfect life. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The best you can hope for is a healthy relationship where honesty prevails, where you can say what you mean what you say. You are who you say you are, et cetera, et cetera. But Americans are afraid. They're terrified of the prospect of being so limited. They think of it as a limitation. And so they're terrified of the idea of, quote, committing in a situation where their choices will have narrowed considerably. And they now have obligations and all that. But that's the way life has been lived. You know, in the 50s, it was everybody's dream to get married and have children, buy a car and a house and live happily ever after.
Listen to the music. It's in the music. It's not in the music now.
So, you know, I believe today there is a marked distance, I think, that has occurred without us really looking at it deeply, and that is the degree to which people are reticent or scared. They're scared about society. They're scared about their role in society. They're scared about their futures. So it kind of permeates everything.
And really intimacy.
Nothing is exempt. No.
Well.
Just live your life as happily as you can. That's
just
live your life as happily as you can. That's what I do. Oh, I try to do. I don't have the time to dwell on all the things that could go wrong, because many of them already have gone wrong. So I look forward to being more hopeful.
Hopeful?
About what I can do. Yeah. Look, try to be more hopeful about yourself, about the society. I'm not saying you live in a, you know, some kind of la-la land, but you should, we should be a lot more hopeful based on what and who this country has been. It is alarming that we are not at all hopeful. Or we sound very hopeless. And that is as important an ingredient to our future success as anything else is. You've got to have some kind of reason to be hopeful and optimistic. We don't seem to be interested in optimism anymore.
Well, I'll say,
thanks for calling in.
Listen, I'll let
Sorry.
You go, but
No, we still have a minute or two.
Quick, I just want to say one thing. I notice when I feel hopeful and optimistic, that's when I can think clearer to a solution. When you feel really down and you're just down, that's not a time to think things through and come to some kind of conclusion. If you're
as
down,
if
you might as well just be down.
You know, we live like nothing bad is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Well, it does. Every day, people get bad news that they have to live with. And if on top of the bad news, they have a bad attitude or they have a bad outlook, what is there to hope for?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much
Thank
for
you.
Calling in. And that brings us to the end of our program today. It is really important. These things may seem like trivial matters, you know, and we talk about what are we supposed to do when I get on the air? That's really, really important, because even when you're having a casual or what you think is a casual conversation, you want to get the most out of it. You want to extract the greatest value of your contact with another person. What does that person have to teach you? What could you learn from that other person? What could you share with that other person? And that happens when you begin to train yourself to listen really well and to respond to the evident needs that you would spot, not just of the other person, but yourself. So you want to talk and you want to take the angle that it is a mutual thing. It's a mutual situation where you're exchanging views, you're exchanging ideas. And you can't do that when you're not listening or you're not responding to what other people are saying to you. This is the end of our program today. I thank you very much for contributing. It's the weekend, and as I always say, surround yourselves with people who add positive dimension to your life. Laugh a little, relax a little, and then we see each other again on Monday. Bye-bye.